I have often heard people say that when you trust the Lord, there ought to be evidence in your life. You know, signs. A man by the name of Josh McDowell wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. So there's things in the Word of God that if God was to gather up the evidence from you, would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? So is there evidence in the Christian life? And if there is no evidence of Christ living in your life, that you trusted the Lord, you're saved, does that mean you're really not saved because there's no evidence that you are? You know, there's a lot of people who examine themselves, and of course everybody else, to see if they're a real Christian, you know, if they're really genuine. In other words, they have in their mind a mental test by which everybody must meet this standard that would verify you're genuine. If you was to give yourself a test, would you put down, yes, I am a Christian because? And what would that list contain? Is there more than one thing on that list? I mean, it's because, well, I go to church, and I know I'm a Christian. Well, I read my Bible, and I pray, and I do all these good things. What is the evidence that you would look for if it's true? I mean, if there should be evidence of a Christian, what would you be looking for? And he makes a statement. He says, you can know them by their fruit. Now, we got a tree over there. God is looking for righteous fruit from the tree. He knows what he's commanded. What is he going to get? So he makes a statement, verse 70, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. All right, if we looked on you and I, if we are a tree, and God is going to look for some fruit on the tree. He said, there's two kinds of trees. One is a good tree, one is a bad tree. He said, a good tree doesn't have bad fruit. And a bad tree doesn't have good fruit. Ooh, well, this really narrows it down. So if God is looking at your tree, if he finds any one bad fruit on the tree, it's a bad tree. Well, look what it said to you. In verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Is that clear? So that means if we looked at that tree over there, and that represents you and me, and if we find one bad fruit on it, the whole tree's bad. So, if you examined your life, have you and can you find one bad fruit? Whether in thought, word, or deed, that's not right. That's not perfect. Okay? What would the evidence say? The evidence is you are a bad tree. And what it means is when God gets through, he says, all have sinned and come short of God's perfection. All. So everybody in the world is a sinner. It means we've all missed the mark. We've all harmatanoed. We have come short of God's perfection. So this is what God is saying in His Word. And there's people, false teachers, that tell all of us, all you have to do is bring forth the right kind of fruit, and you'll get to go to heaven. Because God's looking for this perfect fruit, and all you got to do is bring forth the right fruit, and you get to go to heaven. But no, if you have any bad fruit on the tree, you can't go. So that eliminates the whole human race. And God says, man cannot save himself. Let's take a man. A man has a wife. And let's say we're going to put him over here. Let's take another man and another wife. Let's put them over here. Now, this couple over here, they're saved. This couple over here, well, they're lost. They don't know the Lord. Can the lost man still love his wife? Do lost people, a lost man, does he love his wife? I think so. If they have kids, and they have kids, can the lost man, can he still love his kids? Over here we got a Christian. Can the saved man, will it be automatic? He will love his wife? If he has kids, will he love his kids? He can be a believer and not love his wife. He can be a believer and not love his kids. You can have a lost man over here who loves his wife and not be saved. And love his children and not be saved. So if you're looking for evidence whether or not a man is saved or not, if you look at the evidence, you might say, they're lost and they're saved. Look who they are. This man, he takes his wife and children to church. Is that good or bad? That's good. That's good. Here's a saved man and a saved woman, and they don't go. This lost couple over here, they read their Bible and pray. And the Christian over here, he doesn't read his Bible and he doesn't pray. So, who deserves to go to heaven? They don't deserve to go. Because you don't have to be good. You have to be perfect. So all of their good deeds don't get them to heaven. This is what blows people's minds. But this is what Jesus said. You don't get to heaven because of how good you are. You've got to be perfect, and no one's perfect. You must trust Christ as your Savior. But if you look at the evidence, there might not be any evidence that they love God or they love people. It just doesn't sound right. Did you know when he says, for by grace are you saved, this is what he's talking about. Nobody deserves to go to heaven. Well, why should they get to go and not them? Because they trusted Christ as their Savior and they didn't. Here you are sitting here this morning. It doesn't mean you're better or worse than anybody else. But some people might live better than you. But if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, see, you don't go to heaven. And that person you know that drinks and smokes and runs around and does all those bad things, but that man may have trusted Christ as his Savior and he gets to go to heaven and you go to hell. You say, well, it's not fair. We're not talking about that. You say, that's not worth it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about God. God, see, made salvation as a gift to whosoever would believe it. Anybody that would accept it. Now let me show you something that most people really get all balled up about. Take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And you gotta stay with me now or you're gonna get mad at me, and I don't like people being mad at me. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. See, if a man is not saved by his works, you cannot use works as the evidence of why he should be saved or go to heaven. You say, well, what about after you trust in the Lord? Well, after you trust the Lord, does that mean you're automatically going to serve the Lord? Let me kind of break that down for you. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. I want you to notice there in verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, he makes a statement in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yea, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, all right, look up here. You trusted Christ as your Savior. You were born of God from an incorruptible seed. See that tree over there? That's the new birth. That one over there, that's the old birth. When you still have sin in your life as a Christian, it's not a sign that tree does not exist. It is a sign that tree still does. Let me repeat that. You're a Christian. If you still have sin in your life, it's not a sign that one doesn't exist, the new birth. It's a sign the old one still does. You still have an old sinful nature. you still do things that you should not do. So while you're looking for the evidence, you might find nothing but the fruit of this old tree, even though you can't see that birth. Why? Because, you see, the new birth is a spiritual birth. You know that we just covered this morning in Sunday school talking about God. Immortal. The only immortal, the only king, lives forever and all that. Well, this God never does anything wrong, never makes a mistake. And when you trusted Him as your Savior, He gave you the free gift of eternal life. And as a child of God, we're supposed to learn from the Lord the things that God wants us to learn so that we can do the things that we should do. But the evidence, we keep coming back to the evidence. What about you as a believer? Are there any signs that you're genuine? Keep us in mind. If we have the signs over here, we want to look at these evidences for this man. Or let's say that, okay, now he's a Christian. He ought to have some evidence in his life. Or what should those evidence be? Let's just list a few off the top of our head. Well, he ought to go to church. And he ought to love his wife and kids. And he ought to pay his debts. He ought to read his Bible. He ought to pray. He ought to go Friday night soul winning. I mean, we just make a whole list over there. That if he's really saved, I mean, we ought to have something. You know, got to have something. But every bit of these evidences that we use must be something that the lost man can't do. Because if the lost man can do the same thing that the Christian can do, how does it prove he's saved? Because if that's the evidence that proves he's saved, why doesn't the same evidence prove he is? Can the lost man go to church? Love his wife and love his kids? Can the lost man give money? Can the lost man pray? Go to church? Show me the evidence of what a Christian can do that a lost man can't do. You'll have fun. Because if it's the evidence that proves he's saved, it must also prove that the lost man is saved. So we got to have something better than that. We have some evidence that's incontrovertible. I mean, you cannot dispute it. And it's all based upon the Word of God. God said so. Just a minute ago, I was talking about how that God is, well, He's invisible. Christ, when He came, was visible. But if He's invisible, and we are His children, born of the Spirit of God, your new birth is a birth of the Spirit. You can't see a spiritual birth. And in most cases, you'll never see the spiritual fruit. Even all of those that trust Christ as Savior on Friday night soul winning, if you looked at them, they probably looked just like they did before they got saved. The body never changed. In many cases, deeds never changed. Because it's a spiritual birth. When God says we get to heaven, He's going to reward us for what we've done. Because in the eyes of man, He may not see nothing miraculously in your life. What are these divine attributes of your life that really sets you apart from that lost man? You may never see any change whatsoever. Though we may look for them with our little glasses, and because we're looking for certain things, we can be wrong in our judgment. Wouldn't it be a shame for us to examine Peter Amato and come to the conclusion he's not saved? He's not saved. So how do you know? Well, he wouldn't wear that tie if he was really saved. He went and got a haircut. I think it's too short. He must not be saved. He's wearing glasses. That's a sign of imperfection. Left mine home. And you can be wrong in your judgment. You know, the only way that I believe that Peter Amato is a saved man is because he told me he was accepting the payment Christ made on him for him alone. And he was trusting Christ as his Savior. And that's the only evidence. You see, the saved man, the lost man, can have the same evidences in their life. Both love the Lord. Both can love their children. Both can love their wives. Both can have good jobs. Both do everything right they know to do. They both go to church. They both give money. But there's only one thing that'll get them to heaven. If he doesn't trust Christ as Savior, does he go? Then all this other stuff doesn't matter, does it? Because the lost man does everything that the Christian does. There's only one thing that separates them. One of them trusted the Lord. One of them didn't. The only reason you're going to heaven is because you've trusted Christ as your Savior. How you live your life after you're saved, yes, you have a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father that might beat the tar out of you because He loves you. Maybe take you home before your time, but you see, your salvation depends upon what Christ did for you. 52 years after I trusted Christ as my Savior, how I have lived or whatever I've done and accomplished, that is no proof that I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. But I do believe this. I believe that if you love your wife, there ought to be an evidence. I believe if you love your kids, there ought to be evidence. I believe if I love the Lord, there ought to be evidence. But you see, whether I do or not, you can have the evidence, but God's the one that knows whether or not you really love. Can you have all the signs that you love your wife at the same time you're running around on her? Can a man be an assistant coach and give the impression he loves those little boys? Oh, he really did. But wicked. But in the eyes of others, wonderful individual. So can people be wrong? Did not they try to present evidence for a jury to come up to a conclusion, decision? We're always looking for evidence. And all I know is, I want the world to know that I love my Father. That's why I do what I do. But the evidence that I give to you may not suffice you. In some people's eyes, that might be good. In some people's eyes, they could care less how you live or the standards that you have. Or whether or not you go to the right church, or you pray enough, or you give enough money. So the Bible says some wonderful things. What will help you in understanding the so-called evidence of salvation? You know, to prove you're saved. Let's say, for example, that I have a man right here. He's a lost man. I share with him the gospel. I tell him all about how God loves him, sent His Son, Christ, to die for his sins, and paid for everything he's ever done, come back from the dead and said if he would believe that he did it for him, God would put the payment that he made to his account, and he would be saved from hell. He wouldn't go to hell because there's no sin for him to pay for. Christ paid for it all, and he believes it that moment. When is he saved? When is he saved? That very moment. That very moment. That very moment. He's saved. And God gives him eternal life. Can that very moment, can he know that he's saved? What would be the only thing that he would have at that moment that he would have that he's saved? God said so. That's the only evidence you ever need. Isn't it true at that moment that's the only thing you have to go on because you don't have no life to look at. You haven't lived yet. It has nothing to do with you turning from sin, committing your life to Christ. It has nothing to do with what you're going to do tomorrow or the next day or the next year. Nothing changes this moment. And the reason I know that I am saved because that day I trusted Christ as my Savior, I knew that day, that hour, that moment, I was saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. And the only thing that I had to look at was what did God say? If I believed, I have everlasting life. That's all the evidence I have ever needed. There isn't any other piece of evidence to guarantee to you you're saved. Now, that we've got that out of the way. What if down the road, and people often say this, the day. I don't remember the hour. I know I'm saved, but I don't remember when. Don't worry about it. Because the Bible says, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows those that are His. That's because He has all the evidence. You see, He knows when you believed, doesn't He? He knows the very day you believed it. He knows the hour you believed it. He knows that very moment you believed it. He's the one that gave birth to you. So therefore, you have two evidences. Let everything be established in the mouth of two or more. One is you were there when it happened. And I guess you ought to know. You believed it. And that moment, God saved you. Now, nothing anybody else says or does can change that or alter that. There's nothing that you can do that can ever change it. So the Lord says in His Word, we have this foundation. The Lord knoweth them that are His. So the Lord knows things you didn't forget about. And you might even get to where you're not even sure it's saved anymore. God has not forgotten. It won't be something for you to think you're going to hell after a while and lo and behold, you die and you wake up in heaven. Surprise! You made it. And you realize, all because you trust the Lord, that's the only thing that's going to get you to heaven. None of your works will ever have any part in it.